I want to ask everybody if you could get a Bible. There's some under the seats. And if you didn't read with your own eyes some of the things that I'm going to tell you that are found in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, you might not believe it. It's a tremendously powerful portion of Scripture. And I want you to see the Scripture as we read it together. So that's Isaiah chapter 58. Hallelujah. I just want to ask God to bless us together now for the next few minutes. Lord, I pray you put a special anointing on your word and make it life to us today. God, we're living in an hour where we need these truths that are found in this chapter. We need to believe. We need to walk in these truths. I ask for your help, God, in ministering. In Jesus' name. The first verse in Isaiah chapter 58 lets us know that God's really not too happy with his people. He's telling the prophet to cry out to them. He says, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So something's not right from God's perspective. But as I read verse 2, it sounds to me like they're doing okay. Look what it says. Here's what God says about the people then and their worship for him. He says, you seek me daily. That's good. You delight to know my ways. That's good. You want to be a nation that does righteousness. That's good. You don't want to forsake the ordinance of God. That's good. You want justice. That's good. And my people take delight in approaching to God. That's good. So why is the Lord so upset? I think we need to read further before we're going to find out some important truth. In verse 3, in the first phrase in it, we see a complaint that the people are making towards the Lord. He said, or they say, we have fasted, or we've gone periods without food in addition to our praying. But God, you don't see us. We're not getting results from our fast. It's amazing how the rest of this chapter, at least in my understanding, deals with God's answer to them concerning fasting. And in fact, the whole chapter tells us how important fasting is to God and the tremendous results that can be attained if it's done in righteousness, if it's a successful fast. And I was thinking of, you know, my prayer time for our country this week. Boy, if it was ever a time for the church to want to rise up and maybe not only pray, but include some fasting for our country, it's needed. I was looking in the paper this morning, and they were talking about a prayer meeting that just took place down in Texas. And even here's the governor, and he's asking for help for our country. I wonder how many governors would stand up and do that. He says, Father, our heart breaks for America. We see discord at home. We see fear in the marketplace. We see anger in the halls of government. I've got some precious books in my library at home that tell me why the British Empire was so successful for so many years. I can tell from reading about those great theologians, they kept their country covered, not only with prayer, but with fasting. And I don't know of a chapter that speaks into that subject any more clearly than Isaiah 58. And some of the promises that God makes are literally astounding. Now, to the complaint that the children of Israel made, they were telling the Lord, we're fasting, we're going without food, but you're not answering us. And here was God's response. He says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. I know I've had it happen where I was on a fast and say I come home and it wasn't right for me to go to a Rockies baseball game that night. The two just didn't go together. I should have been willing to set myself aside from pleasures and give that time to prayer when I'm in fasting. And he says also, in the days that you fast, you do all your labor. I mean, God understands we have to go to our jobs and so forth. But when we come home on the day we're fasting, we don't necessarily have to mow the lawn. We can give that time to the Lord. And God wasn't pleased with the people because they were outwardly fasting, but something was not right in their heart. He also says, you're fasting for strife and debate. You just want to prove somebody wrong. You just want to prove yourself right. That wasn't a right kind of spirit. So for fasting to be successful, I've learned my heart's got to be right, or I can't expect God to answer. He says that you also smite with the fist of wickedness. Boy, this is going to get done. God says your heart's not right. You just want to lift your voice up on high. So he gives them six reasons why their fast was unsuccessful. That's certainly true today. In verse 5, the Lord says, I'm going to tell you the kind of fast that will bring results that you won't even believe. That's what he says, a fast that I have chosen. And he says there's three things that need to happen. It's a day you need to afflict your soul. You need to bow down your head as a bulrush. And you need to spread sackcloth and ashes under him, or under yourself. I just want to comment on those three things because God is saying, when you fast, I'm looking at the condition of your heart. He says in prayer, you're to lift your voice up on high. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest, verse 14, who's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may be able to obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. In prayer, you're to lift your voice up on high. But in fasting, God says it's a whole different scene. I'm looking down to you on this earth. And in fasting, I want to see if you afflict your soul. I mean, I need to come realizing I have a fallen, a damning nature. What God wants to see is if I have a spirit of lowliness, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. If I come in that kind of a spirit and pray for my country, I think God's ears will perk up. He'll listen. He says it's a day. The issue is what's happening on earth. In prayer, we take it up. Down here, God says, I'm watching to see what kind of a spirit you have. He says it's one where you need to bow down your head as a bulrush. I've been at places where it's a marshy, watery area, and you've got these reeds that grow up, and many of them are just bent over halfway, and they don't look healthy in some. But the most healthy, rigid, erect reeds, still at the top, there's just a few inches they bow their head. I mean, that's what God wants to see. I don't want to smite with the fist of wickedness and demand that I'm right and somebody else is wrong. It's not a right spirit, God says. You're to spread sackcloth and ashes on yourself. I mean, how you do that? I've tried to read everything I can in the Bible, and it gives me a picture of somebody sincerely coming to God, and they have a piece of burlap bag or, you know, the sackcloth held grain, and it's empty, and they're kind of putting it over their body, and they're saying, God, without you, I don't have anything. My sack's going to be empty. And God will listen to a person like that. And then you spread ashes. Why would they spread ashes? Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't help our country, if you don't help this marriage, it's going to turn into ashes. It's going to be destroyed. And I'll tell you, if we could catch a revelation of not only the value of prayer or the emphasis in a heavenly scene, but fasting, which the emphasis is on an earthly scene. God just doesn't want to hear words. He wants to see. And he looks in the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, out of the heart are the issues of life. So he ends verse 5 by saying to his people, do you agree with me or not? What a challenge. If we agree with him and we can come in a way that please him, the results are staggering. I want to share those with you as we read in the Bible. Verse 6, if you have your Bibles, I'll just read what the Lord says. If it's a fast that I have chosen, number one, it will loose the bands of wickedness. I mean, it will release people from bondages, from pain, from sickness, from addictions. What a promise. What a tremendous blessing something like this could be to our country today if the church would step up and move into this realm. You talk about loosing people from their bonds, it means to release them, ungird them. Set them free from all wickedness. Any wrongdoing, any unrighteousness and its effects. Believing prayer with fasting will loose the bands of wickedness. Jesus made it clear to us that there's some situations that will never change without fasting. I may be the only preacher in Denver preaching on fasting on a Sunday morning. It's not popular to do. But people, I just couldn't get away from it this week with my prayer for our country and how I see this could change so many things in people's lives. The Lord says a successful fast will undo heavy burdens. I was with somebody recently, and I said, boy, you have got just about as heavy a burden as I've ever heard on anybody. God says successful fasting will remove that. Think of the people that are hurting today. Undo heavy burdens. I mean, God can heal a broken heart. And see, why the prophet was told to cry out and show my people their errors is they were connecting as far as going without food, but they weren't connecting with God with the condition of their heart. So it's not going to help us. We just fast to get even with somebody or get an advantage. Heart's got to be right. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. Then I'll give to every man according to his works and according to the fruit of his doings. It'll loose bands of wickedness. It'll undo heavy burdens. It will let the oppressed go free. Look at the millions of people that are on medication out of depression in our country. It'll let them go free. I just wanted people to read these with their own eyes, what God says can happen if we'll add some fasting to a time of prayer. And if I can't be stirred up enough to at least fast a meal and get in my car and go in the park and pray for our country, then something's wrong with me. Just looking what's going on. Hallelujah. If you let the oppressed go free, that means somebody who's been hurt, bruised, wounded, crushed. God, just heal them. They can go free. They can be at liberty. They don't have to be on medication the rest of their life. I'm not downplaying the value of medication and what doctors can do, because that's true too. But thank God for the help that they can bring to us. And God could say, if you understand, my people, that I'm telling you fasting is so important, because it would show the condition of your heart and your sincerity towards me, that God says, I'll add a fourth thing. It will break every yoke. So you can't eliminate anything. If you're thinking, well, it wouldn't cover this, it will. Isn't that amazing? It will loose bands of wickedness. Wickedness is just acting unrighteously. Many Christians do that. It'll undo heavy burdens. It will let the oppressed go free. But boy, I'm amazed when it says it'll break every yoke. There's no deliverance that this can't break. Think about that. That's why Jesus said certain things are only going to be broken by prayer and fasting. If there's ever an hour, this is my opinion, that the church needs to rise up, take this weapon. Some scholars have called fasting the secret weapon. And isn't it now? Am I right on that? Isn't it for a country? Here's the issue that God was referring to in verse 1 when he told his prophet to cry out. They're not getting through to me. Listen, verse 7. He's talking about fasting with a good heart. You have to be the type of person who will deal your bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. I mean, from the day that I had the opportunity to serve in pastoral ministry, I would never take a penny. Even in the beginning, until that 10% went out to missions, that had to be first. We try to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit where these funds should go. But that's part of having a right heart. Care about people, hurting people. And I guess the thing that God wanted to get through to the people from Isaiah was that their motives have to be right, or you're wasting your time fasting. I think of the book we shared on the life of Mephibosheth, and it brings out those 15 characteristics of love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that we give our body to be burned and make all these sacrifices. If we don't have love, it's not going to count. Give all our goods to feed the poor. We don't do it with the right spirit, it doesn't get any results. If God says, if you enter into a fast, afflict your soul, let me know you don't think you have all the answers. When you've done everything, still tell me you're an unprofitable servant. How many pulpits do you hear that coming from today? At best, I may have been faithful in a few things, but he's God. I need to bow before him. I say this again. I'm going to read these promises that God says will happen if we add fasting to prayer and do it with the right heart. Look in verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. I mean, darkness is not going to have its way in your house. The devil's not going to have his way with your children, grandchildren. Is this really Bible, what I'm saying, that your health will spring forth speedily? Is this a right translation? Does anybody else have that in their Bible? Is it there, Archie? It will spring forth slowly? Speedily. Don't you see the power if our heart is right? I don't think there's anything the devil would rather rob the church of than the key to adding fasting to prayer. And I don't think it has to be a 40-day fast like Moses. I think I can tell God, I've got a busy schedule, but I'm going to the park. I'm not eating lunch. I'm just going to pray to you and tell him what I'm praying for. And I'm not raising up my voice, but here's the way I feel. I want to humble myself. I want to take on lowliness. And if you don't help me, this thing's going to turn to ashes. If you don't help the thing I'm praying for, that marriage is going to turn to ashes. Whatever. Be honest with God. He's looking down here. I think this is amazing. Light will come forth. Your business, your home, finances, health, and your righteousness shall go before you. That means God will bless your life and all you do. God will bring up the rear. You go out blessed, you'll come in blessed. You won't have to say, God, we've prayed and you haven't answered. You won't have to do that. Verse 9 says, then shalt thou call and the Lord shall answer. You cry, he won't hide himself. He says, here am I. The people were complaining, God, you're not hearing us. And he's trying to tell them why he wasn't hearing them. The heart wasn't right. God says, you've got to take away from you in your life, you know, pointing the finger. Everybody else is wrong but you. You're wrong. You're wrong. Assume responsibility. Intercede for our country. That's what those great patriots in the British Empire did to make that country so great. We don't speak vanity. And if you'll draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul. I'd feel terrible if we weren't able to. We had a prophecy today about we're to understand God's bringing the Jewish people back to their land. We're to stand with that. We're to help them. If we couldn't send something every month and that would go out before I'd get my check, I wouldn't take it. They need our help. They need our encouragement. God wants to satisfy the afflicted soul. There's always somebody that could use a call, could use our love or compassion or a phone call or something. And, you know, the enemy wants to bring darkness. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God says, through fasting, it can't happen. He can't do it. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity. You see, I don't get no breaks. Nothing ever happens for me. Well, here's a way that thing can be turned around. The darkness that you would experience would be as a noonday. God will just drive it off. The Lord shall guide you continually. That's what we all want that. I want to be led of the Lord. I talk to people every day. They want to be led of the Lord. They want to hear his voice. The people of Israel were complaining, we're not hearing your voice. God's trying to tell them why. I mean, if times get tough, I'll satisfy your soul in drought. I will make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I can't think of any place in the Bible where blessings are to follow people's lives any more than what I read in Isaiah 58. Look at verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. People will be bringing testimonies of the tremendous change, the tremendous blessings that have come upon their family and business and so forth. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. I mean, we have to ask the question today, what happens when a nation forgets its foundations? They need to be raised back up. Wouldn't it be neat if people could look to you and say, boy, this lady, or this man, this boy, this girl, they're a repairer of the breach. They know how to deal with problems. They don't bring condemnation, they bring light. They're a restorer of paths to dwell in. I encourage you this week that read verses 8 through 12 and see if the Lord may speak to you. There's situations in your own family or extended family that probably won't break until God sees something like this. I don't know how He'll speak to you. Maybe it's just a meal. Now, if He just stopped there, it would be great. But why does He have to bring up the Sabbath? Verse 13. Don't throw stones at me. I'm just reading the scripture. Listen to what He says. We're down to verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on the holy day, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day to the Lord, honorable, if you honor God this one day, not doing your own thing, not going out and finding pleasure, not speaking thy own words. I remember my last trip back to Ohio, and my sister and I went to the little house that we grew up in, elementary years of school. And I said, we're just going to walk to Sunday school. And we walked through the main part of town, to the Presbyterian Church, to Sunday school. And we were thinking about, in those days, and I know this is not 1939 or 1940, things are more difficult, it's different now. But still, I feel an obligation in some way to find a way to honor God on the Sabbath. Then, Rhodes Grocery Store was closed. The coffee shop was closed. The gas station was closed. Town was quiet. Church bells were ringing all over town. I realize it isn't that way now, but he says, this is one way, if you'll honor that day unto me. Verse 14, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride upon the high places. A lot of people, I'm tired of being pushed down. Okay, this is a way to get up on the high places. We all got to figure some way how we can honor Him, don't we? He said, I'll bless you in the high places of this earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. And I think we can count on what we've read, Isaiah 58. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, it's so easy to just have a spirit of condemnation. This is wrong and that's wrong and that's not right. I was thinking of I'm the teacher of the class today, so I'm going to say, you got an A+. You're in church today. How many will take an A+? Hallelujah. You know, I can remember my dad was a superintendent, a principal, and he said he wanted me to take Latin in high school. And I heard some of the other kids saying their parents said that Latin is a dead language. Don't want to take it. I told that to my dad, and he said, yeah, but it'll teach you to study. You're taking it. I hated Latin. My dad made me bring my test papers home. He said he'll help me with it. But why, when I'd take a test, if my teacher, Latin teacher, would give me a C, she couldn't do it in black letters. She had to do it in red. I have to take that home. So, you know, I brought my red pen, and I brought my little tabs. If anybody would like an A+ to put in your refrigerator, I'm going to give it to you. You're in church today. Anybody wants to come up, I'm going to write A+. Put it on your refrigerator. This is one of these stick things. The devil's not going to like it. You deserve it. You're in church today. You're not out riding your bicycle. You're not on a boat. You're in church. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Come on up, Jeff and Sandy, and help me. You know, we're all pilgrims. I want to read you a few words from Helen Steiner Rice, as she is a tremendous writer of poems. She says, open my eyes. God, open my eyes so I may see and feel your presence close to me. Give me strength for my stumbling feet as I battle the crowd on life's busy street. I mean, people are running to and fro. Life is busy. I've got to figure a way this afternoon and this evening to honor God. It's His day. If somebody sees me in 7-Eleven buying an ice cream bar, they'll probably say, that's my hypocrite faster. We've got to make some choices. Here's what she says. Widen the vision of my unseeing eyes, so in passing other faces, I'll recognize not just a stranger, unloved and unknown, but a friend with a heart. I mean, you got struggles just like I've got struggles. You're a fellow pilgrim. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. We both want to please God. She says, as we look to others, they're in the same boat we are. Makes us aware that scattered throughout life's thoroughfare are the best gifts of God. That's fellow pilgrims. So we need to pray for one another. It's not an easy thing dealing with this issue of the Sabbath, because today every store is open and movies are open, everything. It's not like when I grew up. You couldn't go to the grocery store if you wanted to because it wasn't open. But we can figure a way to honor Him, can't we? If anybody wants to make the devil mad and wants an A+, I'm teaching this class today. I'm giving the grades. I'll give you an A+. Put it on your refrigerator and let the devil worry about it all week. You are in church today. Hallelujah. Jeff, lead us. Let's stand.
Amen. Praise your name, Jesus. To Him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb, to Him who sits on